Today I'm going to talk about love is urgent. Love is urgent. God loves you with an urgent love. His love towards you is urgent. All right? Love is always urgent. Ravi met Lulu when, like, last year. This year, married already. Why? Because love is urgent. And God loves us with urgent love. I'm going to take the story from the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth because it's a love story. And it tells the story of how Naomi and both of her sons died, left her with two daughter-in-laws. One of them left, but Ruth stayed. And she followed her to Bethlehem. She said, "Don't ask me to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." So she follows Naomi to Bethlehem. And then I'm summarizing the whole story. And then they're very poor. They're destitute because they came from a famine. So one day she says, "Let me go out." Ruth tells her mother-in-law, "Let me go out to the harvest field and work and gather some grain, some leftovers." So happened, she went and worked on the field that belonged to Mr. Boaz. All right, you know the story? So she works there, and Boaz notices her, and he asks about her, he hears about her, and he gives her extra food, he gives her bread, he gives her vinegar wine, and he takes care of her, and he says, he gives her extra food, go back to your mother-in-law, and all these things. Very nice. Okay, so she continues working on the field after quite some time. And then one day her mother-in-law says, "It's time for you to get a husband." And she tells her exactly what to do. Why my mic? She tells her exactly what to do. Can you hear me, guys? She tells us what to do. Tells her what to do. And let's take it from Ruth 3:5. Ruth tells her mother-in-law, she says, "I will do everything you say." So she went down to the threshing floor that night, followed the instruction of her mother-in-law. After Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. He was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she replied. "Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz exclaimed. "You are showing even more loyalty now than you did before, for you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows you are a virtuous woman. But while it's true that I am one of your family redeemers, there is another one who is more closely related to you than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will talk to him. But if he is willing to redeem you, very well, let him marry you. But if he is not willing, then as surely as the Lord lives, I will redeem you myself. Now lie down here until morning." Now let's jump straight to 16. And then she told her, Naomi, she's telling her mother-in-law everything that Boaz has done for her. And added, "He gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.' Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens.'" "For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." The man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Love is urgent. Love is urgent. God's love towards us is urgent. And there's always a sense of urgency with love. And in this season, for us as a church, God is moving fast. He's moving with an urgency over your life. Things are about to shift. Things are about to change in Jesus' name. Last week, Pastor David said something very interesting. He said, when Jesus went up to the festival, he went fast. Remember? When he went to the funeral, he went slow. Guess what? You are alive. And God is celebrating you. He's coming towards you fast with a sense of urgency. While you are alive, whatever matter you're facing now, it is urgent for Him. Your financial needs is an urgent matter for Him. Your healing is an urgent matter for Him. Your breakthrough is an urgent matter for Him. Jesus is not dragging His feet, church. He's coming with a sense of urgency. His love towards you is urgent. He's always working on your behalf. It is an urgent matter. From the moment Boaz knows that, "Hey, this girl likes me. She's interested in me," immediately he went to work on it. It's the same thing with you. The moment you pray, the moment you humble yourself before the Lord, He immediately works for you. The moment you decide to obey, Lord, I'm going to obey you, I'm going to follow you, He moves. He will not rest until the matter is settled. God loves you with an urgent love. When Daniel prayed in the Bible, Daniel 10, he says this, Daniel 10, 12, the angel is talking to him because Daniel has been praying. He says this, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them." The first day you prayed, the first day you humbled yourself, your words were heard. Amen. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, the angel, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." The first day he prayed, already heard. Request already made. It was urgent. God sent answer. But he was detained by the king of Persia. When we were kids in the 80s, there was a video game called Prince of Persia. Who knows that? Who heard of the game, Prince of Persia? They even made movies. All right? But all the Christian children in the world, in America and all the world, all of us were banned. Don't play the Prince of Persia because of this verse. Prince of Persia is the devil. In this verse, the king of Persia was Satan. So because of this verse, all of us were banned from playing the Prince of Persia. But actually, Prince of Persia is a nice game. It's like Indiana Jones. It's like Tomb Raider. It's an adventure game. Nothing demonic or what. But in this context, it was Satan preventing the answer. So sometimes when delay happens in our life, it's because there is a war on the other side. There is a spiritual realm that we don't know about. There is a fight that is going on. So when we pray, we will win. When we trust in God, we will win. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. We win. And God's love towards you is urgent. He will not rest until the matter is settled. Love is always urgent. In 1 Samuel 25, it's about David. David was a fugitive. He was running away from Saul. He was hiding in the caves and so on. And one time there were this group of people, and David and his men protected them from raiders and all. You don't have to show the verse now. Don't show the verse. Put something else. Don't show the next one also. Go back to the title of the message. Until I go there, Aiden, when I go to the verse, then you show, okay? Thank you, man. Thank you. Round of applause for Aiden. If not, they are all ahead of the message before me, waiting for me to get there. Relax. So, you kill the punchline. But spoiler. Hey, never mind. So, David and his men, they were fugitives. So they found these people. They were taking care of their sheep and all that. They protected them and from harm, from the enemy, from all these things. Gave them, and they were a wall to them during the day and during the night. So nobody could harm these people. Now these people belong to a man called Nabal. Alright? Nabal. So one day, during a festival, David said, "Go and ask this guy whether he can give us anything." Anything. He wasn't specific. He said, "I want this, I want that." He did not make any demands. He just said, "Why don't you ask Nabal for something, since we were like bodyguards to their people? If they can give us some food, anything, then we can celebrate together." But what happened was Nabal cursed them. Cursed them. "Who are you? You are like that. You are like this. You are like that." He cursed them, kicked them off, sent them away. Now David got mad. He got very, very angry. He told everybody, "Strap on your swords. You're going to wipe this guy out. Finish. I had enough." He was so angry. Understand his state of mind at the time. He was a fugitive. Saul was persecuting him. He's hiding in a cave. And he showed kindness and he was repaid by evil. He was mad. He didn't just want to kill Nabal. He wanted to kill the whole family. Everybody. Finish them out. Saul, he cannot do anything. That's the Lord's anointed. I want to kill him, but I will not touch the Lord's anointed. But this Nabal, his name means fool. I'm going to kill this fool, man. Playing games with me. I'm a warrior. David was a bloody man. He's a warrior. But Nabal had a wife named Abigail. Abigail heard about it very quickly. She took food, ran and met David. She's an intelligent lady. She's a very intelligent lady. She told David, pay no attention to my husband. His name is Nabal. Nabal literally means fool. And fully goes for this man. He's a fool. As for me, I did not see your man. If I did, it would be a different story. But David, you, she talked about Nabal is a fool. I didn't see you. Now she talks about David. David, you, the Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty. For you are fighting the Lord's battle. And you have not done wrong your entire life. So why have this blood stain on your hands? And now, Aiden, you can show. Let's take it from 29. Even when you are chased by those who seek to kill, you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he has promised and made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Smart lady, right? Then your conscience won't even have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. Isn't Abigail amazing? Isn't this woman something else? She reminded David of his destiny, of your future. Yeah, you're a fugitive now. You're a fugitive now. But everybody knows, David, one day you are going to be king. God is giving you a lasting dynasty. Who speaks like that, man? This lady spoke into his life, his future. You haven't done anything wrong up to this point. Why start now? The second thing she reminded him of was, very subtly, was his background. The life of your enemies disappear like stones shot from a sling. Who is she talking about? Goliath. She reminded him, hey, when you were a young boy, this is what you did, man. You are a warrior. She reminded him of who he was, reminded him of who he's going to be. She is a fantastic lady, Abigail. This is the type of people that we need in our lives. We need Abigails in our lives, reminding you of your great destiny, what great things God has for you, reminding you of your past victories, what God has brought you through, preventing you from making wrong decisions when emotions are high. Don't make decisions when emotions are high. They always say that. When you're angry, don't make decisions. Why? Because we will mess up. We make decisions when we're angry. We say things, we do things. But we need more Abigails around. In a world full of neighbors, full of fools, be an Abigail. Remind people of their destiny. Remind people of what God brought them through. Amen. Proverbs says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. This is exactly what she did. A gentle answer. Sometimes you want to react like David. Love is urgent, but anger is even more urgent. When my daughter was small, 3-4 years old, she said, Papa, if you are angry, I will be even more angry. It's a little girl. Very fierce. Very fierce. So, sometimes we are like that. We react fast in anger. People haunt me in the car. Sometimes I'm driving, they honk me, irritate me. I wind down my window. Then I, hey, wind down ready, right? I ask myself, what do you plan to do after you wind down? Why did you wind down? Stop. Your hand going to go out, is it? You're going to show a certain hand signal, is it? You're going to scold, is it? Sometimes I want to get out of the car and see that. Well, what's your problem? But control. Sometimes I forget I'm a pastor. Pray for me, yeah? Hey, you're a pastor. Sit down. Wind your window up. No need. So, the old man is still there sometimes. Love is urgent, but anger is even more urgent. We need to keep it under control. My dad's story. When my dad was young, with my mom, they were riding a motorcycle. She was pregnant with me. Okay? That's why I love motorcycles. So, they were riding on the bike. And the lady in front of them put the indicator to turn right, but she turned left and knocked them both off the bike. Okay, roll on the floor. My dad picks up his helmet, goes straight to the window, want to slam into the lady, and she winds down those days' window, right? She winds down the window, looks at him. Hey, pastor. Anger is urgent. Sometimes. But that was when he was young. Now he's okay already, I think. Don't test. Don't test him. Okay, love is urgent. All right, now back to David and Abigail. So, she goes home after this. She tells her foolish husband, David is not going to kill you. This is what I did. I gave bread. He gets a shock. His body gets a heart attack or what? They said he was like a stone for 10 days. Cannot move. He was stone. 10 days. And he dies. Suddenly he dies. The moment he dies, David hears about it. He sends for Abigail to be his wife. Because love is urgent. At least this time he didn't kill the husband. He died by himself. Sorry, David, in heaven, you don't listen to this message. Bad joke. So he married Abigail and it was fast. They didn't waste time. He quickly asked her to come and marry him. She did not have to suffer to be a widow for a long time because he favored her. She was favored by David. Today, church, you are favored by the Lord. And just like this case, he's not going to let you suffer for a long time. He's not letting you suffer for a long time. His love towards you is urgent because you have found favor in his eyes. You have found favor in his eyes. He didn't leave Abigail a widow for a long time. He didn't leave David without wise counsel, without wise advice for a long time. David needed an Abigail in his life. He needed her wisdom. He needed her encouragement. She reminded him of the call of God over his life. Reminded him of the battles. Reminded him of his victories. The right word at the right time brings healing. Amen. Amen. And she brought healing to a hurting David that day. He was hurt. He was really hurt. He really wanted to celebrate with his guys. Instead, he was met with evil. He was met with evil. So God knows how to send the right people at the right time to speak healing over your life. God also knows how to remove the wrong people at the right time. Because the word actually says God struck him dead. God struck Nabal dead. David did not have to take revenge. God knows how to take revenge on your behalf. You don't have to do anything. He will take revenge on your behalf. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So don't pray, why is my neighbor fellow still around? I also want a David. Don't pray, when is my Abigail coming? Wait for her husband to knock off. God can send you your own Abigail. He can send you your own David. Amen. His love is urgent and he will not rest until the matter is settled. Second point. The restoration is urgent. His forgiveness is urgent. Boaz was known as the kinsman redeemer, so he redeemed Ruth as soon as he could. Jesus is our redeemer. Amen. He redeems us. He forgives us with an urgency. The moment we confess our sins, he forgives. He's faithful to forgive. There's no cooling off period. There's no trial period. He forgives us the moment we ask for forgiveness. Isn't he a good God? Amen. Right there. In fact, in some circumstances, you see Jesus forgive them without them even asking. Luke 7:48, it says to the lady, your sins are forgiven. She didn't ask for forgiveness. At the cross, he says what? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And the thief on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. His forgiveness is urgent. His restoration is urgent. He doesn't take a long time to forgive you, a long time to restore you. My grandfather's story, some of you know, right? He was a Sai Baba worshipper. On his deathbed, he's in a deep coma. My dad prayed for him and he saw one drop of blood fall down on him and suddenly he woke up from the coma. He said, sing me a hymn. Sing me a hymn. And then the next day, he says, I'm going home. I saw my name written in a big book. How does he know about the book of life? It's not even safe. He did not do a sinner's prayer. He did not say, forgive me, Lord, come into my... Nothing. Nothing. But God's forgiveness is urgent. His restoration is urgent. Because 2 days, one day later, he went on. Just in the nick of time. So his love is urgent for us. His restoration, his forgiveness is always urgent for us. If you need forgiveness this morning, it's available for you right now. right here. He forgives urgently, without delay. He restores you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can forgive, heal, deliver. In the Bible, He can do it today. He can do it today. Amen. His restoration is urgent. When you come to Him and you ask for forgiveness, ask for restoration, He will restore. Last point. The call is urgent. The call is urgent. In Isaiah 6, it talks about how young Isaiah was exposed suddenly to the presence of God. Suddenly, it says in Isaiah 6, I think can show the scripture. I'm not going to go through all, because show some. It says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And all this, and it goes on, goes on, goes on. And then goes to verse 5, it says, woe to me, I cry, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had with the tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. His restoration is urgent. His forgiveness is urgent. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Send me. So God touched Isaiah's lips, cleanse him immediately, and then says, whom shall I send? The call is urgent. Church, the call is urgent. When Isaiah was called by the Lord, he was maybe a teenager, maybe in his 20s, maybe in his 30s. How many young people here today in their 20s? Can I see any hands? 20s? Oh, Stephen and Michelle. All this in the 30s? No. 30s, yes. Below 30s? No. I'm young. All the rest, I don't know. Is they always say young people are very difficult in this day and age. Difficult to understand them. This brain rot thing. What's going on in them? Cappuccino, assassino. Random words they make up. Nobody knows what is it. Now the latest one is 6'7". 6'7", 6'7". Nobody knows what is going on with the young people. Skibidi toilet. My daughter used to say that until she's skibidi all the way to the toilet. But God loves young people. He's looking for young people. Young people who will do great things for the Lord. Isaiah, young man. Young man. Older people, they are the fathers. They are the fathers, the elders, the leaders. We need them. But to enlarge the kingdom at this season, at this age where God is moving fast, we need young people. The kingdom needs young people. Don't sideline the young people. There's anointing over you when you are young. Hello? The anointing means you're chosen to do something, a particular job. And it happens to young people in your 20s, 30s, 40s, below. You're still young. Young people can do a lot of things older people cannot do. We can do a lot of things older people cannot do. You can take territory for God older people cannot do. Young people are mobile. We're easier to move around. They can go here, they can go there. Jesus went around with His disciples, all of them in their 30s. Travel up and down, no problem. If you're old, how? Leg pain, got gout, walk a little bit pain. Jesus slept in the boat. When you're old, can you sleep in a boat like Jesus? You wake up, back pain. My neck, stiff neck. I need to go and see the doctor. I got headache. I need to check my BP. When you are young, you can do a lot of things. Hello? When you are young, you can do a lot of things. When you're old, you cannot do. Young people can fast and pray. Jesus fasted 40 days. Old people, how to fast? You have to take medicine. And doctors say what? Before take medicine, you have to eat. Correct, auntie? Auntie Jaya said, cut it out, enough. Medicine for BP, cholesterol, sugar. Young people, you don't need. You can go when you can go fast. In the army, all the elite soldiers, the commandos, they jump down from helicopter, aeroplane, they dive in the deep ocean, all these are young people. Hello, God is looking for young people who will do crazy things for Him. Older people become the generals. They give advice, they give direction, they give strategy. Moses was up on the mountain with his hand holding the staff while Joshua fight. Under the covering of Moses, Moses' hands went down. He started to relax. Guess what? Joshua lost. So old people, don't discount yourself. But I'm talking about young people. Young people can do a lot of things because to take on the enemy, to fight the devil, so to speak, it takes young people. Don't despise your youth. We need young people. It's a gift. Pay attention to our young people in the church. To advance the kingdom of God, we need young people. Young people are more flexible. Their mind is open. They can learn things very fast. Very fast, they pick up things. You show them something, this one is AI, it's not real. Old people, hey, real, you know, this thing happened. They forward all the message. They believe everything. Hey, AI lah. No, but I saw. No, it's AI. Young people are fast. They know. Old people, how? How? They don't know. They think all real. Yeah, this one real. Young people are fast. Love is urgent. It's fast. In the Bible, 2 Kings 9, there was a guy named Jehu. All right? Jehu was in his 40s, something like me. Not old, not young. But the moment he was anointed as king, the first thing he did was he immediately went and killed Jezebel. Now, the background of Jezebel was she was a wicked, wicked queen. And even Elijah, the great Elijah, was scared of her. Elijah called down fire from heaven, then he killed 450 priests of Baal. All right? 450, not two, not three. He killed these people, 450. But the moment this lady said, I'm going to kill you, he ran. He got scared, he ran, he went into deep depression. But then, when Jehu was anointed, not scared at all, Jehu went fast. All this is in 2 Kings 9, you can go home and check. He was young and dangerous. God is looking for young and dangerous Christians today. Amen. Young and dangerous boys and girls. They said Jehu drove like a madman. That's why I suspect he could have been from India. India, everybody is a madman. Everybody drives young and dangerous and fast and furious. All right? I've been going to India. We've been going for mission trip for more than 10 years. These people never change. Same. They're just as wild. The traffic rules there are just suggestions. It's not rules. But God is looking for new Yehus who will be fast and furious for the Lord. Who will be wild for the Lord. Who will be bold and obedient for the Lord. Young people, whom shall I send, says the Lord. Whom shall I send? Who will answer? Old folks, I'm not discounting you. Don't go home yet, Auntie Jaya. Chill. I'm coming to you. Let me settle. I'm still settling the young people. Young people have faith like a child. If God asks to do something, means they will do. They will not question. They will not try to process. Think so much about it. Let me contemplate. Give me a few days. I come back to you with answer. Young people just do. Old people sometimes, I heard this message before. I heard that testimony before. I know it all already. I know already. Young people, they listen. Hey, I need to listen more. I need to learn more. And they grab it and they run with it. Claire, my 13-year-old girl, always, sorry, Claire, don't agree. Always listening to music. She's developing her own taste of music. It's fine. She listens to Jeff Buckley, Radiohead, My Chemical Romance, whatever. I told her one day, I said, Claire, you know, you should listen to worship songs. Songs that edify your spirit. Because you listen to all this radio here, all, I'm a creep. I'm a very negative. Jeff Buckley died in a river. All this very negative. And I said, listen to, it's fine, but listen to worship songs. Let it edify your spirit. Then the next day, we went out and I was driving and she tells me, Papa, today I was filled with the spirit. I'm driving and say, whoa, what happened? I listened to worship songs. I was listening to worship songs and I was just praying. Suddenly, I just started crying. I just got filled with the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Faith like a child. That's why young people, you have a gift. God will show up in your life very, very fast because you have faith like a child. Amen. Older people, we get distracted. We got so many things going on. But young people, they just obey. The next day, I tell her today, tomorrow, God meets her already. Fantastic. So the young, don't waste this time that you have, young people. The call is urgent. The call is urgent. Seek the Lord while you are young. Seek the Lord while you are mobile, while you can move around, while you are fast. Don't wait, later, I'm busy, I'm catching up. Like, now, do what you can do for the Lord. Amen. Amen. This will be a strong foundation for you when you go older. You won't be so easily scammed by the enemy. You'll be strong in the Lord. Okay, now, finally, old people. Not old, huh? Still can do. As we age, we need to still carry the faith like a child. Have that childlike faith. Then you become young again. Then you are young again. You believe again. Have childlike faith. 80-year-old Caleb said, I may be 80 years old now, but I'm just as young as I was when I was 40. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. He said, that means he still had faith, the same faith that he had when he was 40 years old. I'm not wavering. I'm 80, but no, I still have faith like a child, like a young man. I can be a Yehu. I can take on giants in the land. They were giants. They were the Anakins. They were this, they were that. I am going to take them out. I'm going to take that mountain. He understood, being at 80 years old, that the call is still urgent. Amen. The call is urgent, yes, when you're young. But when you are old, the call is still urgent. There's still promises to take hold of. Faith like a child. Mountains to conquer. He didn't retire. He refired himself. I went to India with my dad and Pastor Lionel, the two elderly, mature gentlemen. I cannot speak like their level. These guys are powerful. They're great. When they're on another level. Pastor Lionel is even older than my dad. 7-8 years older. 78. When he talks like an old man. But when he speaks, he's a young man again. Powerful. When he preaches, he's a young man. That you cannot tell his age. He's still on fire. He's still powerful. He's going to be our camp speaker next year. Don't miss. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. You can miss other things, but don't miss our camp. So what I'm saying is the call is urgent, even when you're 13, 18, even when you're 81. The call is still urgent because God is still asking, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? And the answer is only one. Here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever age I am, whatever I can do, Lord, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Bless me. Now the summary. Let's go down to the summary. His love towards you today is urgent. His restoration towards you is urgent. The healing, forgiveness is urgent. His call towards you today is urgent. Whom shall I send? Whom can I trust? Whom can I bless? Whom can I use? Here I am, Lord. Send me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Amen. God bless you.